This is the Reds Hot Stove League. The Reds Hot Stove League is brought to you by Holy Grail Banks and Santo Graal, proud sponsors of the Reds Hot Stove League. Beacon Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, JTM. Let's create great dishes together. MSA Architects. And by Document Destruction, the official document shredding vendor of the Reds. The Reds Hot Stove League is also brought to you by... Hot Stove League on the Reds Radio Network. The Reds on the
radio. And hi, and a pleasant Tuesday evening to you, and welcome once again to the Reds Hot Stove League. As you can hear in the background, we have a very good gathering here on this Tuesday night at the Holy Grail at the Banks. We are, what, now the 13th of December, so we are less than 2 weeks away from Christmas, and I would suspect that people are out and about doing a lot of Christmas shopping, and maybe some of them decided tonight, you know what, we're out anyway. Let's swing on by the Holy Grail, watch a little Reds Hot Stove League, listen to what's being talked about with Reds baseball, and then go on home and enjoy the rest of the evening. I know that's what I did, and so I figured that that's what some of you folks did down here as well. We also welcome those who are listening on the vast Reds radio network around the state of Ohio, Kentucky, Tennessee, et cetera, Indiana, and hope you're having a pleasant holiday season as we close in on the big day, 12/25, now just 12 days away. I'm Jim Kelch. With me on this seat to my left in the not-too-distant future will be Mr. Perfect, Tom Browning. Tom is, as always, he and Doug Flynn do a great job of filling in when we need them to fill in. A couple of weeks ago, Doug Flynn skated in from Lexington and did a fantastic job, and Tom Browning will be doing that today. But Tom is having some issues in terms of getting here with the traffic, the weather. You know how the weather is. Tonight's a good hot stove league kind of night because of the way the weather is. But we have been in communication with Tom. He is on the way here. And in the not-too-distant future, Mr. Perfect will be to my left, and we'll be talking Reds baseball, what he's up to, and maybe get some of his thoughts on what's going on within the Reds organization. We do want to remind you from a listener standpoint, particularly if you're listening in the Cincinnati area, at the bottom of the hour, due to University of Cincinnati basketball, we'll be switching to 15:30 a.m. Right now you're listening on the Reds flagship. And after the second break, the bottom of the hour break, we'll be switching to 15:30. University of Cincinnati has a men's basketball game tonight, which you will hear on this station here locally, beginning at 6:30. All right, what's going on in terms of Reds baseball? Things have actually been a little bit quiet since, really, since Reds Fest. That was, almost 2 weeks ago now. And the winter meetings came right on the heels of that. No big moves by the Reds. You did hear some talk down there about different things that were going on. There were some teams that approached Dick Williams and the Reds folks about the potential of acquiring, say, a Billy Hamilton or an Anthony DeSclafani or a Dan Straley. And people get all up in arms about that, but we should let you know. And I think hopefully when you read these things or heard these things, you really took a moment to take a real good look at it and decided what was going on with it. And what was going on with it was that these teams approached the Reds. It's certainly one thing for the Reds to be calling teams inquiring about someone being interested in a Billy Hamilton or an Anthony DeSclafani or Dan Straley. It's certainly another to have teams calling them. And as Dick Williams has said many times, he said there's no harm in listening. And if we get overwhelmed by a deal, we certainly would take a good hard look at it. But truth be told, with DeSclafani and Straley being two of four tremendous starters that the Reds have coming back, the other two being Brandon Finnegan and then Homer Bailey coming back from surgery, that's a pretty good foursome going forward. So let's hope that those four are together when spring training starts in February, and then the Reds can go about the business of finding out who that fifth starter will be. Speaking of spring training, today being the 13th of December, we are now officially 2 months to the day, 2 months away from pitchers and catchers reporting on February the 13th. out at the Goodyear Complex in Goodyear, Arizona. And then 3 days later, the rest of the team will report. Physicals will take place, and then they'll be onto the field and start the workouts. And then that just really starts the countdown to the beginning of spring training games, which, because of the World Baseball Classic, begin earlier this year out in Goodyear. The Reds' first spring training game is February the 24th, and they end up out in Arizona on March the 29th. We talked about the two games they will play at their affiliated ball clubs. One, a futures game against the Reds and their future stars, will play in Louisville on Friday night, March the 31st. And then they'll transfer up to Dayton, Ohio, where they will play an afternoon game on Saturday, April the 1st. Again, a futures game. The Louisville game is a night game. The Dayton game is an afternoon game. Then the Reds will work out on the 2nd, and, of course, everything begins then on April the 3rd. And for the second year in a row, they'll do it against the Philadelphia Phillies. If you have a question, our number tonight, we have one number. That's 513-749-1360. 513-749-1360. That's the number if you're calling in. If you're here at the Grail and you have a question, come on up, and our main man, Dave Yiddy Armbruster, our producer, has a microphone, and he can put that in your hands, and you can ask a question. We have our obligatory first question of the night. So, sir, you are on the hot seat.
Well, thank you, Jim. It's always good to see you. You're in midseason form already. The question was brought up several times about retiring numbers and all the great history for the Reds. And I'm going to pitch two numbers that should be retired as a little side thing. And first and foremost, that the gentleman, Ernie Lombardi over there, the gentleman, the catcher, extraordinary, all those years for the Reds, I feel his number could be seriously considered, given that they won a world championship and MVP and all the sundries that he had acquired. And then let's talk about Ken Griffey Jr. I figure at some point in time, Seattle's going to retire his number if they haven't done it already. 3 or 4 or 5 years, whatever the organization feels comfortable in doing, much like we did with Frank Robinson. There was a period of time where they waited after his number had been retired from, I guess, 3 or 4 organizations. So, I mean, there's some precedent to that. I like that. Both guys. I mean, I got to see one. The other one, unfortunately, people like to accuse me of being that old, but that's not the case. I never saw him play. But just reading all the history of the Reds, he seems like a logical one. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, let me ask you this first, and I'm not a numbers person in that regard, so tell me the numbers that you're talking about. What numbers are you talking about?
Well, I'm talking numbers in terms of their physical number.
Right.
I guess in the case of Ken Griffey Jr., we have to decide because he had a couple of different numbers. And if I'm not mistaken, that might have been the era before they had numbers.
Ernie Lombardi?
Yeah. Or did they have numbers?
I do not know. That's why I'm asking you, because you are
the
expert.
But I don't claim to
be
an expert.
I said the resident expert.
Okay, well, I'll give you that. But I thought he had a number. I thought they had assigned him a number later in his career when they started doing numbers. And whatever that number is, I want to say it was like 3, but I may be wrong. Somebody will call in and correct me.
Well, that's a question,
but
really.
But I think most of his career he did not have one because of the era, that era.
Well, I don't know. My opinion on that is I don't really have an opinion on it because that is something that would be out of my realm. That would be more something for Rick Walls and the Reds Hall of Fame and Museum to discuss. I'm assuming that's how they do it. We know that we retired Pete Rose's number last year. I see that the Yankees are retiring Jeter's number this summer, and so there's a long list of numbers there that they have retired. You know, you retire those numbers, and you just have less and less good numbers to deal with for the current team. There's no doubt that Ken Griffey Jr., whatever number is picked, and he's in the Hall of Fame, will be there. Ernie Lombardi wore number
4. We just confirmed it. I knew it was 3 or 4. I couldn't remember.
It wouldn't bother me at all if those numbers were retired, and if the majority of people believe that those numbers should be retired, I have zero negative feeling toward that.
Well, yeah, if you think back on those guys just for a second, then I'll turn it over to the next person. The fact is that it really isn't anybody else. If you think about that era of the big that 1919 team. I know that they had some issues with the scandal, and I don't want to get into all that silliness. But that was a great team. And he was their leader, and he had been on that team for many years, and he had just been just a classy guy and a leader and what the city loved. Clearly, probably was our first superstar. I'll be, you know, bold to call it that. And then to have someone like Ken Griffey Jr., I think those are logical ones. I can't think of anybody else that would even remotely come to that kind of consideration.
I'll
turn it over to the next person.
Thank you for your question, and gives us something to think about as we move forward, not only tonight, but into the future. This is the Reds Hot Stove League. We're at the Holy Grail at the Banks on this Tuesday night, the 13th. Yes, he will be here shortly. Mr. Perfect, Tom Browning, will be right in this seat next to me. He is in transit now, so we'll take our first break, come back with more right after this. The Reds Hot Stove League from the Holy Grail Banks, presented by Budweiser. And we're back at the Holy Grail at the Banks for the Reds Hot Stove League on this Tuesday night. A reminder that the Reds Holiday Gift Pack is on sale, starting at only $40. The gift pack includes 4 ticket credits, good towards any combination of games next season. Plus, you get a new limited edition Reds Nutcracker. Purchase your Reds Holiday Gift Pack today at the Reds Kiosk, located in the Kenwood Town Center and in the Florence Mall, or you can do so at reds.com/holiday. Some restrictions do apply. A reminder that if you're listening locally here in Cincinnati at the bottom of the hour after our second break, which is coming up in about 7 minutes or so, we will switch to 15:30 to hear the remainder of the program. If you're listening on our flagship station, we have UC basketball coming up at the bottom of the hour, pregame at 6:30, and they tip at 7 o'clock. One of the things that is good about Reds Fest, for me anyway, is the opportunity to meet some of the minor league players that you hear their name a lot, but you don't really know who they are. You hear about Jesse Winker. You hear about some of these other guys, Amir Garrett. But you don't really know who they are. And then if you go to Reds Fest, you get a chance to see them either at an autograph booth or a photo booth or walking amongst everybody going to their next thing. And that's one of the things I like to do when I'm there is put a name with a face. Some of these guys, a couple of the guys that I met this year that I had not met in the past were some of the minor league award winners for this year. One of them, the Sheldon Chief Bender Award for the Player of the Year in the Reds minor leagues was Aristides Aquino, who had a very good year. In fact, he was the Player of the Year in the Florida State League, and I had a chance to meet with him. He's 22 years old. He had a good power year, 23 home runs down there at Daytona Beach, so he would figure to start at Double-A this year. Another one of the fellows I ran into twice was the Hitter of the Year, Shed Long. He's a left-handed hitter. He's 21 years old. He's an infielder. He's only 5'8". When I initially saw him, he didn't have his jersey on. He was in what we call the green room waiting to go down and do all of his appearances. And I saw this guy, and I thought, well, who is that? I wonder who he is. And later I saw him with his jersey on and realized it was Shed Long. He had a nice year at Dayton, which is right up the road in the Midwest League, and at Daytona. Hit a combined 293 with 15 home runs. He was the Hitter of the Year this past year. And then a guy that I had met in the past was Amir Garrett, who won the award as the Pitcher of the Year for the second consecutive year. He won a combined 7-8 with a 2.55 ERA between Double-A and Triple-A. He'll have a chance this year to make the big league club, I would think, out of spring training, because remember, we talked about 4 starters going in. The Reds need a 5th starter, and certainly we've heard Brian Price and Dick Williams say that amongst that group of guys that will get a chance to fill that 5th role will be some of the guys within the organization, namely Robert Stevenson, Amir Garrett will have a chance, Cody Reed will have a chance there, and even Tim Adelman maybe, depending on what happens with some other guys. And also Dick Williams has talked a lot about the fact that he is still looking at potentially bringing in a veteran arm who could either work as a starter early in the year if necessary and maybe also go to the bullpen if that is a role that is needed also. We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question, our number, 513-749-1360, 513-749-1360. If you have a question here in-house at the Holy Grail, we have a microphone just off to our right. Dave Udy Armbruster is controlling that. Tom Browning will be here. I would imagine he is as close as he can possibly be without being here yet. We talked to him right at the top of the hour, which is about 25 minutes or so from ago, and he said he is valiantly trying to get here, so we do expect Tom to be here very shortly. Again, the number, 513-749-1360. You know, we're talking about Reds Fest, and right before Reds Fest began, there was kind of a question about will Reds Fest take place, because the collective bargaining agreement between the players' union and the and Major League Baseball had not been settled, the new collective bargaining agreement, or they call the CBA, and there was talk about possibly it not going on, because we had read that if a new CBA was not reached, that the winter meetings portion, the Major League portion of the winter meetings would not go. The teams were told not to go to the winter meetings. All that turned out to be a moot point because they did reach an agreement. But I thought there were some interesting things that came out of the winter meetings, and one of those was the smokeless tobacco ban. Some years ago, probably I think in the 90s, I think I wrote that down. Yeah, 1993, smokeless tobacco was banned in minor league baseball, and in the big leagues, it's been banned for a number of years in terms of carrying it with you when you're on the field. You notice a lot of times you can see the round can in the back of a guy's pants, or doing an interview with the smokeless tobacco in. That has been banned for a number of years now. And now the new rule for next year in Major League Baseball is similar to the old rule for you guys who have been around a little bit. Remember, the batting helmets used to be the helmet without the ear flaps. And when they changed that rule and said new players coming in had to wear at least one ear flap, the old rule was grandfathered in. I think Pete Rose of the Reds was one of the final ones from the Reds that didn't wear an ear flap at all. You see catchers wear that hat now. You see the base coaches wearing them. But the players that were in the big leagues were grandfathered in, and they could continue to wear that hat until they were finished. The same thing goes with smokeless tobacco. As of 2017, any player that comes into Major League Baseball who has never appeared in a Major League uniform and or a game before cannot use smokeless tobacco in the big leagues. Players that are here that have appeared in at least a game or been in uniform can continue to use the smokeless tobacco. One of the things, now this was interesting, this is something I read yesterday, I think it was, and that was the Major League Baseball came out. One of the great, in my mind, rituals of the end of the baseball season in September, when players are called up. And that is, minor league players would get called up to the big leagues, and at some point in time in September, they would have the dress up situation where they would be dropped off downtown somewhere, and they'd be dressed up in women's clothing or whatever it might be. And we're going to talk more about that later on in the second half, because when I read this, I thought, wow, that is really getting a little, in my mind, maybe a little bit nitpicky. We'll see what Tom Browning thinks about it in the second half, because he will certainly be here by then. This is the Reds Hot Stove League, live from the Holy Grail Banks. A reminder that if you're listening locally, bottom of the hour, we'll switch over to 15:30, and we'll continue the show. More right after this, presented by Budweiser. Second half hour of tonight's Reds Hot Stove League from the Holy Grail at the Banks. Good gathering down here on a Tuesday. We are less than 2 weeks away from Christmas. We'll do it again next Tuesday, and the show after that, then it'll be 2 days after the Christmas holiday. This reminder, the Reds Hall of Fame and Museum's Pete Rose Hit Collection fundraising campaign features 4,256 baseballs, each signed by Pete and stamped with the official Pete Rose Hit Collection logo and baseball's unique hit number. Purchase a Hit Collection baseball and become the owner of that hit and help support the Pete Rose Sculpture Project. Purchase today at RedsMuseum.org. Now, most of the time when I say something, I live up to it. And tonight is no exception to that. I said that Mr. Perfect, Tom Browning, would be here, and indeed, Mr. Perfect, Tom Browning, is in the house. Hello, Tom.
Hello. It's good to be back. It's good to be here. I was on the bridge when you said I would be here very shortly, so.
I was hoping that you wouldn't drive like a crazed madman and try to get here.
No, I obeyed all the rules, all the laws. I turned right on red when I shouldn't have on one, but other than that, I obeyed all the laws.
Well, we hopefully will get some questions for you. I have some other things that we want to talk about. I'll give out the number, 513-749-1360. Or if you're in the house and you have a question, we have a microphone here. I was talking, Tom, about the Pete Rose hit collection, your former manager. Have you heard about this and have you seen
well, my
that?
My question is, can somebody get hit number 4256 or 4191, or do they get them according to...
No, you can pick. The person who's doing the purchasing gets to pick the hit that they want.
Wow,
now,
okay.
Only 4,256 people can buy these, and some of them obviously have already been purchased. So you may say, I want 4256, and they'll say, no, that hit is already gone. You say, I want hit number one. No, that one's gone. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Did you give up a hit to Pete at all?
Nope. I don't even think I faced him in spring training.
Really?
Yeah, because at the end there, he just hit left-handed. So every time I threw live BP, I always got the right-hander. So.
Yeah. So that's kind of interesting. Now, you were driving in. You heard me talking about Major League Baseball's new anti-hazing and bullying policy, which came out yesterday, saying that teams are now prohibited from having their players wear costumes that may be offensive to individual based on race, sex, nationality, age, et cetera. That's a long-standing event that has taken place in baseball that I personally found extremely funny.
Entertaining, very entertaining.
Yeah, but you said
creative.
When you were a rookie, you didn't do it.
No. Well, of course, I had Pete and Tony and Davey Concepcion and, older guys, and I guess I didn't do that back then, so I was very fortunate. I did see it come into play. In fact, I did say that we did a part. We went and bought a bunch of old sports coats down at a thrift store in Atlanta, and traded them out for their jackets, made them the young guys wear it, but never got to that point. But I just thought about Joe Madden's team, because I think they have dress-up days on planes and stuff, I guess.
Well, they have dress-however-you-feel-comfortable days.
Yeah.
In fact, I think every day like that is
yeah, but I remember
like
them wearing some outfits or costumes.
It's very possible. It's very possible. Now, I understand the no hazing, no bullying policy. In fact, I'm 100% in favor of that. But this seems so harmless that these guys dress up two or three blocks from a visiting hotel and they get dropped off via the bus and then they have to walk to the hotel or whatever they may end up doing. It takes a total of 15 minutes. And they do usually get those things. And when the team is flying, wherever they may be going, they have to ride on the airplane with it. I think it's extremely funny. And maybe it'll end up, maybe it'll end up being a situation where they only do it on the airplane, because there's no, obviously these are charter flights, so there's no public on the.
Oh yeah, but you might offend those stewardesses.
Well, I guess it's possible. I personally think
that's a little big to do about nothing. I think.
I think you're exactly right.
All right, let's see. We talked about Reds Fest.
Reds Fest. Yeah.
Amir Garrett won it for the second year in a row.
Second
I forgot
year
he
in a row.
Won last year too. Yeah.
We talked about the winter baseball meetings and the fact that there wasn't much activity in terms of the Reds. I did notice yesterday, I think it was, that a couple of former Reds signed contracts. One, a guy that you may have had some years ago, Logan Andrusik.
Yeah. He signed back with the Reds?
No, he signed with Baltimore. He had been pitching over in Japan and putting up some pretty good numbers over there out of the bullpen. He had signed a deal with Baltimore midway or so through the season last year, and while he didn't pitch overly well for Baltimore, they did re-sign him to a major league deal for the upcoming season, and a guy that I really liked the last 2 years for the Reds, Ivan DeJesus Jr., they let him go, and he has signed a minor league deal with Milwaukee.
Okay. Well,
so
those guys usually find a way of landing on their feet.
Yeah,
I'm happy for Logan. He signed a big league deal. That's even better. I bet he stuck out like a sore thumb in Japan. Oh, my God.
Can you imagine that?
Yeah. It took two to get taller than him.
Big 6'7" Logan Andrusik.
Yeah, he was a monster.
He was, that's for sure. Those are two areas that the Reds have talked about really wanting to improve, the bullpen and the bench. two of the main areas that that Brian Price has talked about, that Dick Williams has talked about. We need to get better in those areas if we're going to be better in 2017.
Yeah, and you know what? We got such a good core of I was talking to somebody the other day, and I said, man, our minor league system is we've got some kids, and they're just going to start coming in bunches here shortly. So we certainly got the amount of arms down there, and just see where they fit. And you know, Teddy's up there and had some of those guys down there at AAA. So, you know, it should be pretty interesting because there's some young guys that are going to, you know, open some eyes and make some tough decisions for those that major league staff to make.
That is an excellent, excellent segue because when we come back after the break, we will take a look at some of those minor league pitchers that may be a part of this Reds team in 2017, certainly going into spring training. We are live at the Holy Grail Banks. This is the Reds Hot Stove League presented by Budweiser. Tom Browning is with me. We'll come back with more right after this. Holy Grail at the Banks is where we are this Tuesday night for the Reds Hot Stove League. I'm Jim Couch along with Mr. Perfect, Tom Browning. A reminder that the wash books from Mike's Car Wash do make a great holiday gift. Get yours today at any Mike's location or at mikescarwash.com. We have about 15 minutes or so left in this Tuesday night program. Tom Browning, we went into the break talking about some of the young Reds pitchers that are up and coming, and I brought one up that I didn't have on my list. You brought one up that not only did I not have on my list, but I'd never heard of.
Right.
And let's talk about those first. When I did a thing in an interview room over at the Reds Fest a couple of weeks ago with Mario Soto, he said there's a dark horse that people don't know about. His name is Jackson Stevens. Tell us about Jackson Stevens.
Hillbilly boy from Alabama. Throws strikes, throws a nice sinker, breaking ball combination, works quick. You know, but he's always been stuck in with the Travieso and Amir Garrett. He came up with all those guys, and he's kind of kept pace with them. But he had a really good year last year, and a kid that, like I said, he just goes out there and gets people out. So, he's going to sneak in the back door, kind of like Steve Selsky, in my opinion.
Where did you coach him?
I had Jackson in, I know I was in Arizona somewhere. We probably had him in the fall league or instructional league. I had him in instructional league a couple times. Him and Nick Travieso. You know, I had Amir Garrett and Billings. And Robert Stevenson in rookie ball and then Daytona. So I've seen a lot of these guys. You know, Robert came in, you know, as advertised. He didn't get a throw right away. It took him about a month because he had to pass all the physical stuff after he got drafted. But you could see the kind of stuff he had, so.
Do you see Jackson Stevens, and admittedly things can change, but when you look at him, do you look at him as a starter or a reliever?
I like him as a starter. I mean, I look at them all as starters, and then when they get to the big leagues, if there's a need for a long relief guy, they figure out the best one. And but there's a core of guys, and I remember when I first got drafted, we had a guy named Jimmy Hoff, our player development guy.
Did you say Jimmy Hoffa?
Jimmy Hoff.
Oh.
No, without the A.
Woo!
Lifelong Red. He's now working with the Tampa Bay, but he said your goal is to make it to the major leagues, not necessarily with the Cincinnati Reds.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we teach our guys. You know, there's going to be a core guy. Some of these guys are going to end up playing the big leagues probably with another team. But because we have them, it improves our stock.
You have a question for us. Tom Browning is alongside. The number 513-749-1360. There's another name that you brought up that I had not heard of, but you are really high on a young man named T.J. Antone.
Yeah, yes. Him and Tyler Molly, I had them in Dayton. I had a staff when I was in Dayton 2 years ago that were just, you know, as solid as I've ever had. But T.J.'s about 6'5", sinker baller from Oklahoma. His dad played football at Oklahoma. Got a little Johnny Cueto delivery in him, but throws sinker balls and gets a lot of ground balls. And, he had a really good year in Daytona. He'll probably start the year in AA. I think he pitched a game in AAA, I think, at the end of the year. I'm not certain, but held his own. I mean, those guys that I was fortunate enough to be around in Dayton, they certainly made my job a lot easier because they went out there and threw strikes. And we just didn't have very good offense, but, they went out there and pitched their butts off.
I want to ask you this because that fifth spot in the Reds' rotation seemingly is the only spot right now that appears to be open. Did it surprise you the way Cody Reed and Robert Stevenson pitched when they came up last year, particularly in Stevenson's case in his second stint, because early on he made those two spot starts. He was pretty good. But at the end of the year and the way Reed pitched, did it surprise you that they pitched the way they pitched?
Not necessarily. I thought Robert showed that he deserved to have a look up here, and he got it. And, there's still some things that he could probably get better at. Is he better than what we got up here or in the top 13 of what we got up here? I don't know. That's not my decision. But I thought he showed that he has major league stuff. Now, it doesn't mean you necessarily, make yourself a major leaguer. You know, sometimes you got to make some adjustments, and that's not just physically, but sometimes mentally and maybe attitude-wise and whatever else. But Robert is a big leaguer waiting to happen when he puts it all together. Cody, you saw signs of it, but he just got, started, the ball started coming up, and that's, the one thing these guys can't do up here. You can't pitch up in the zone and up. And, I mean, I'm talking mid-thigh. You know, you got to learn to pitch at the knees and live down there and then come up for effect or whatever. But, another big leaguer waiting to happen. Just when he puts it together, I think he's going to be here for a while.
There's another guy that I want you to comment on, but we'll do it after the break. And this is a guy that Jeff Brantley talked a lot about in the second half of the season. Chris Welsh talked a lot about in the second half of the season that they feel he's a big guy that can work up here, possibly out of the Reds' bullpen, maybe even as early as next year, and that is Sal Romano. We want you to talk about Sal, but we'll do that after the break. Again, our number 513-749-1360. We are live at the Holy Grail Banks for the Reds Hot Stove League, presented by Budweiser. Back with more after this. You like that?
I do.
Tom Browning, I didn't know you could sing.
I can't.
You want to entertain people for the last 5 minutes?
I do not.
Okay, just wanted to know. This reminder, parents looking for the perfect gift for your son or daughter this Christmas, how about the official Reds baseball and softball camps presented by United Healthcare? This is a can't-miss opportunity for kids of all skill levels. All campers will receive their own Reds uniform, instruction from a Reds coach, meet a Reds player, and much more. You can sign up today at Reds.com/camps. Final segment of the Reds Hot Stove League on this Tuesday night. A couple of things I want to get to, Tom. One is I promoted the fact that I want you to comment about a guy that Jeff Brantley, Chris Welsh talked about a lot in the second half of the season when they were looking forward to 2017, and that is the right-hander Sal Romano out of the Reds minor league system, who they thought maybe starting but could make a pretty good reliever up here.
Yeah, I think they could do whatever they want with Sal. I call him Baby Huey because he's a big guy, got big feet. He used to get hit with a ground ball or a line drive every game he pitched. But, big kid, probably 6'5", 6'6", I don't know how big he is. He's just really big. But he throws on a downhill plane, and he throws a heavy ball that's down in the zone. And Sal, like I said, could probably fit anywhere. I just like everything about him. I think he's a guy that can pitch every day, and I think he's a guy that can pitch every fifth day. So.
Interesting. Before we get to this other subject, I want to bring up someone else because I was reading about him 2 days ago. Didn't realize that Amir Garrett, number one prospect in the Reds organization from a pitching standpoint, is 25 years old now.
Yeah.
And admittedly, he got into baseball late because he was a Division I college basketball player for St. John's University. Yep. And this guy is 25. You think that the Reds may be pushing him along a little bit faster because of his age?
No, I think he's earned it, to be honest. I think he's earned it. He's only he's only been in, since he really committed just to baseball. Probably 3.5 years, I would guess. But his year last year, the year before was a coming out party. And then this year he backed it up with an even better year at AA and AAA. I think he can smell it. I think he wants to be a big leaguer. But I think they moved him along because I think he earned it.
Yeah. Okay.
And he's left-handed too. And I think you're probably going to see us push guys a little bit more now, young guys that are successful. We're probably going to give guys an opportunity to move up the ladder that's warranted. But Amir certainly did enough and surprised me, to be honest. I didn't realize he would bolt through the organization this fast, but I'm happy to see it.
All right, final subject of the night. Recently at the winter baseball meetings, manager Brian Price talked about the fact that he would like to see pitchers throughout the Reds organization and in baseball in general throw more, not less. He'd like to see them throw twice between starts, for instance, for starters. And he feels like the injury situation, which has continued to escalate in Major League Baseball, hasn't been cut back because of the fact that these guys aren't throwing as much. Your thoughts?
Well, I don't disagree there. I just think the intensity of the throwing needs to be monitored or at least explained. I think we spend way too much time throwing too hard all the time. Even our bullpens in between starts should be three-quarter speed and then maybe full speed at the end. And the rest of the time, we are just kind of keeping our arms sharp.
Did you do that? How often did you throw between starts?
Once.
Once?
Yes.
Would you have thrown the second time if they asked you?
If I needed it.
If you thought you needed it.
Yeah.
All right. It was short, but it was
well,
sweet.
My bullpens were 50 and 60 pitches, too, now.
Yeah.
But they were none of them were of max effort. It was just working on command and then working my way off.
Tom, thank you for coming down. We appreciate it. Always good to visit with you.
Good to see you, Jim.
All right. Mr. Perfect, Tom Browning. This is the Reds Hot Stove League. We'll be back here again next Tuesday at 6 o'clock Eastern Time. Thanks for coming down. We'll talk to you again next week.